The Virgin Mary is one of Christianity's most familiar icons. For centuries, artists have depicted her, from ancient frescoes in churches to paintings by Renaissance masters to simple backyard statues. But few writers have taken up her story or tried to create their own version of the epic events of her life. Now the Irish writer Colm Tobin does just that in his novella The Testament of Mary. In doing so, Mr. Tobin raises questions, not only about the life of Mary, but about the stories that laid the groundwork for the creation of a church. NPR's Lynn Neary reports.
Colm Tobin grew up in Catholic Ireland at a time when devotion to the Virgin Mary was widespread. But he found the inspiration for his fictional account of Mary's life not in Ireland, but in Italy. While on a trip to Venice, Tobin happened upon two very different works of art, Titian's Assumption, depicting a red-robed Mary being taken up into heaven surrounded by angels, and a painting of the Crucifixion by Tintoretto.
And I was absolutely struck by the difference between the two images. One, pure, the way they wanted her to be, arising, you know, into heaven, and the other, impure, chaotic, cruel, strange, unforgettable.
It is the space between these two images that Tobin explores in The Testament of Mary. This brief novella takes place many years after the crucifixion. Mary is being watched over by two of her son's followers. She has nothing but contempt for her son's disciples, always has, from the first moment she saw Jesus preaching to them and heard a false note in his voice.
She calls them misfits, only children, stammerers, men who could not look women in the eye. And They sort of appalled her, because the language that they were using did not seem to her to be right.
This Mary is neither pious nor pliant. Instead, she is filled with anger. Tobin says he based her voice in part on the fierce heroines of Greek tragedies, Medea, Electra, Antigone. Through her eyes, we see anew familiar stories of the New Testament, the wedding feast at Cana, the resurrection of Lazarus. Tobin says he used the Gospels as a resource until the beginning of the crucifixion, when Mary first sees the crown of thorns.
Then I had to just leave the Gospels aside, leave all sources aside, and begin to imagine what would that be like if you had known this man as a baby, if you had nurtured this child, if you were a woman who had nurtured him, to see him trying to pick out, pull at the crown of thorns and actually pushing the thorns in even further. So I was trying to imagine it second by second, moment by moment, as though it had not happened yet.
One of the disciples now taking care of Mary is John, who wants her to confirm the stories he is writing down in his gospel. He wants to place a grieving Mary at the foot of the cross. Mary knows her son's followers want her to help them to tell the world that Jesus was the Son of God, but she will have no part of it.
I whispered it again, slowly, carefully, giving it all my breath, all my life, the little that is left in me. I was there, I said. I fled before it was over. But if you want witnesses, then I am one, and I can tell you now, when you say that he redeemed the world, I will say that it was not worth it. It was not worth it.
Tobin's Mary seems so unlike the iconic blushing virgin or tragic mother figure that has been handed down over the years that some readers may find her almost unrecognizable. And says Tobin, he knew even as he was writing the book that he was creating a controversial figure.
Yes, I realized that at sometimes when I was working that I was breaking glass. And yes, I was aware that the figure speaking was not the mild woman of the paintings, the imploring and very yielding woman that you see at the foot of the cross, or that you hear about in the Gospels, that she was somebody who was deeply traumatized and very angry, and also sharp and also intelligent and also ready to defend herself if necessary.
The Gospel of John, of course, does not tell the story of Jesus according to Mary's testament. There are, says Tobin, two competing narratives in his book, and he insists that he makes no judgment on which is closer to the truth.
That's too large a question for me. I'm interested only in her voice and what somebody like her might have said had the time arisen 20 years after the crucifixion to speak for once. But those large questions over what's right or wrong or over should things have happened one way or the other really don't interest me. I'm concentrating entirely on the tone and texture of this woman's voice in this particular day.
Do you think it's possible that people who, people of faith, people who believe in Christianity would be offended by this book?
Well, in the end, she has to say that from her point of view, when they're talking about those large questions of redemption, that all she's to say is, look, I was there, I saw the cruelty, I saw the hours passing, and I can tell you one thing, it wasn't worth it. Now I do realise that this is not ideal if you, for example, pray to the Virgin Mary, which a lot of people do, or if you worship her. But on the other hand, a book is closed. You have to open it to read it. And also, I'm a citizen of the European Union, where, and indeed I'm in the United States at the moment, where the freedom to imagine and publish is one of the things we have all worked for over a number of centuries. And so I'm insisting on my right to imagine how she might have spoken on a given day. But obviously, I would also insist on someone else's right not to open the book.
At the very least, Tobin says, he hopes that believers and non-believers alike will approach his portrait of Mary with an open mind and will understand that he took his subject matter seriously. I wanted to allow Mary to speak, he says, in the same way that artists of the Renaissance wanted to paint her robes and her suffering and her yearning. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Stephen Skip.
And I'm Renee Montagne.